Yeah, 38, 9, and 40. Yeah, that's right. Well, what I'll do is I'll just read, finish this translation of the 40, then I'll go back through. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to go through it anyway. Okay. Thank you, Samprabhu. So, translation. Suta Goswami said, the king thus spoke and questioned the sage using sweet language. Then the great and powerful personality, the son of Vasudeva, who knew the principles of religion, began to reply. So that will continue then into the second canto of his reply to the request of the great sages and King Parikshit there. So, yes, as you say, I was asked to speak on 38, 39, and 40. So, if I may, Yachrotiyamato japya. This is 38. Yacha sopyanato japyam. Yat kartavyam nibihi prabho. Smartayavam bhajana yamva. Bruhi yadva vivaryayam. Translation. Please let me know what a man should hear, chant, and remember, and what he should do. Please explain all this to me. Then 39. O powerful Brahmana, it is said that you hardly stay in the houses of men long enough to milk a cow. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Saints and sages in the renounced order of life, they go to the houses of the householders at the time. They milk the cows and early in the morning and ask some quantity of milk for sustenance. A pound of milk, fresh from the milk of a bag of a cow, is sufficient to feed an adult with all the vitamins and values. Therefore, saints and sages live only on milk. Even the poorest of the Brahmanas keep at least 10 cows, each delivering 12 or 20 quarts of milk, and therefore no one hesitates to spare a few pounds of milk for the mendicants. It is the duty of householders to maintain the saints and sages like the children. Oh yeah, saints, sages like the children. I'll read that again. Let's get it sort of its meaning correct. And therefore, no one hesitates to spare a few pounds of milk for the mendicants. And then it says, it is the duty of the householders to maintain saints and sages like the children. So a saint like Sukadeva Goswami would hardly stay in a house of a householder for less than 5 minutes in the morning. In other words, the saints are very rarely seen in the houses of householders. And Maharaj Parikshit therefore prayed to him to instruct him as soon as possible. The householders should be intelligent enough to get some transcendental information from the visiting sages. The householder should not foolishly ask a saint to deliver what is available in the market. That should be the reciprocal relation with between the Lord, relation between the saints and the householders. Om jnana timran jatsya janan jana salakai chakshur milatam yena tasmei Sri Gurave namaha. So, because it's the last part, the last chapter of this chapter 19, the appearance of Sukadev Goswami, I wanted to speak about a few verses beforehand, which precipitated, you could say, the appearance of Sukadev Goswami. It brought about, and but just to speak about the purport first. This is of a purport to text 39. It says, O powerful Brahmana, it is said that you hardly stay in the household houses of men long enough to milk a cow. And in this purport, it's quite interesting to say, saints and sages in the renounced order of life will go to the houses at the time of the milk of the cows early in the morning and ask for a quantity of milk for subsistence. A pound of milk fresh from the cow is sufficient to feed an adult with all the vitamin values. Prabhupada, he's a very great expounder of the cow products. It's interesting. And so some people, they have a physical disability in that they can't handle cow products. So they make the best use of a bad bargain. But for service sake, they have to survive in Krishna consciousness. So we can't rebuke anybody who has this difficulty with milk. But for service, we carry on. So we get what we can to supply our service. This is the highest principle, because service is none different from Krishna. So you achieve still achieve Krishna. So we have to maintain. So, but here we should understand that milk is a principle of Krishna consciousness, you could say. The cow and its milk, they're special to Krishna. They're part of his worship. And we should understand that, that we should honor it in that way. That this is Krishna's cow, and this is the milk that's come from this cow. Some people also take up the mood that we shouldn't take any milk products for anything. That's interesting, that's true in a sense, because they are ill-treated by the farm industry. That's true. And we think a boycott of the, any milk which it's not necessarily, we should just stick with organic or whatever comes from our cows. Yeah, that's true too. But also I was of when I was in household life anyway, that I would do the best in the circumstances, because organic wasn't always available. That's for certain when I was doing it. So, but I thought, this cow, whoever it may be, is suffering or not suffering. And so mercy, you know, I offered any milk that was available at that time. And I thought that was my mood, really, you could say. That actually milk is a product of a cow in either a fortunate situation or an unfortunate situation. It's mercy. So I didn't have any qualms about that. I thought, maybe there's mercy needed even for the not organic milk of cows. You know, this is my understanding, that mercy, however it comes, it should be available. So this was a personal point of view. And so, but also it was based on availability as well. You know, so Prabhupada says, all cows are precious. So let's give them, let's make this connection with the cows. So, and then it says that the saints and sages are maintained like children. So, you know, the saints, they must be maintained like children. You know, they have their needs, but they hardly stay in the household for more than 5 minutes. But in other words, such saints are rarely seen in the houses of householders. Therefore, he prayed to them to instruct him as soon as possible. And so in that short time, the sage is with a householder. It must be a few words of knowledge that will help them in their spiritual life and give them some consideration. Because it says a moment's time with a sadhu is actually liberating. The potency, such is their potency. So this brief moment that they're there with a householder is very powerful. It's like Mahaprasadam. It's powerful. It's offered in such a way, it's from the altar. But we should understand the Mahaprasadam, we shouldn't eat in such a way that it's regarded like something else, and that if we aren't getting enough maha, that we're not going to be satisfied. Mahaprasadam, a speck of it, is perfect. It's so potent. So we have to realize its potency when we get it. It's available now. We have to make sure the prasadam is now is distributed. That was a difficult problem at first because there was so much Mahaprasadam. We're limited. But now it's being distributed now. It's opened up a bit. So it's this quality, we're not getting what we used to. That's a fact. And we shouldn't, because we should know its potency, as we should know the words of a sage, a great soul. Their potency is maybe in just a few moments. So it's understanding this is the mercy of the Lord, another aspect of mercy of the Lord, and it's being given. So, and it's not by chance that this householder has received sages. Srila Prabhupada's father would always take in sadhus and feed them and honour them. And Prabhupada exclaims, he explains sometimes that when he was seeing that they could have been anybody, actually, and in fact they were their motives weren't that of purity, but still his father would feed all the little saints that would come to him. He didn't discriminate their motives. He took them. His duty was to give to them. And if we start to discriminate who's like this, who's like that, and make a judgment on who we're going to give mercy to, it's not the way. It's the way the sadhu gives. And just like King Parikshit, we could understand from this chapter that there are all different sorts of yogis and sages coming. They weren't necessarily Krishna consciousness. They even may have been Mayavadis. But they knew what was happening. They knew that there was a special event taking place here. That this person had committed themselves, which is King Parikshit, to fast for the rest of his life because of his what he felt was his recompense for his sinful activity. He's willing to sacrifice that. In fact, we find out through the purport how Prabhupada explains that actually it's by the will of the Lord. Bhagavatam had to be spoken, though it had come from all sorts of pain of King Parikshit to go through it and feeling that he was the lowest of men. He had to have that aspect of surrender that actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses in his poems of Sharanagati, that actually I am the lowest of men. I am the worst. And Prabhupada said this is a sign of advancement, is knowing that you are. Because if we don't realize our position relative to something that's happened, Mother Kalangana would always say to me, take the humble position, because you don't know where it's coming from. Whether it's your past misdeeds, oh, I don't deserve this, they're mistreating me. But it isn't. It's Krishna. He's given you what you deserve. You know, it may seem unjust at times, but this is supreme justice. You must see Krishna in everything. This is the whole principle. He says, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So we must trust in Krishna in all our difficulties, but all our happiness as well. It's coming by good fortune. If you look at Bhagavad Gita, I think it's chapter 13 and 14. Prabhupada, he says, the devotee feels that whatever comes, that actually it's coming from Krishna. And it should be much worse because I'm following the path and that I'm still wanting to serve him. So I must accept it, that somehow its reactions may be from past misdeeds or reactions from my immediate misdeed. Except I can't see it. But if you can't see it, ask. Don't start complaining to everybody and implicate others in your problems, because it's apparat. Find out first the justice and the injustice from authority. Oh, I've got to complete a service which I've forgotten about. If you open the door, it's down on the right under the walking stick here. Sorry about that. So we find ourselves in sometimes difficult circumstances, as Parikshit was, but he, because he was pure, that his faith in Krishna was that he was giving him the best, that to take him back to Godhead. In other words, I wish I could remember it, but it's on 12:14:8, Bhagavatam, Canto 10:14:8, who he or she who waits patiently on the Lord, enduring the reactions of your past misdeeds, the kingdom of God becomes your rightful inheritance. We have to endure. the reactions of our past misdeeds. And that means in endure in happiness and endure in unhappiness. Because both are they're both mercy. But we have to see it as mercy, that somehow or other I am given in this fortunate position, because it gives me also facility to serve Krishna in such a way that I can use this facility for him. It's going to be beneficial. And so I don't gratify my senses with the good fortune that comes my way. We appreciate it for what it is. It is good fortune, but at the same time, we honor it in such a way that actually it's coming from Krishna as well. But I should take it in such a way that it's prasadam and honor it in that way, though it's wonderful, but also has wonderful qualities of the taste. I remember when I first came here and serving prasadam, and they said, you know, we can't make halva like this. I remember that, you know, because they somehow it seemed to have a special quality when it was served by the devotees, because not everybody was following Krishna consciousness. There were different beliefs, and even Shriya. There were even Muslims that used to come, Sikhs, all these people. But they have this understanding. There is a supreme, and that service is important in their lives as well. Though they may not follow Prabhupada's teachings, that they come here. And that was the very nice thing, you know, to know that, you know, there was Muslims and Sikhs, and they wanted the service. They knew the nature of the soul, that they realized that actually the soul becomes happy when it's giving. So it was a facility here at the manor to serve a diverse number of, you could say, beliefs in the Supreme, because it's in its own way it's worshipping the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada, in his wonderful Lord Chaitanya comes to mind, and the Muslims and his preaching about the Muslim religion, and how because of my memory's not so good, please excuse me. But in this pastime, he's preaching to the Muslim leader of the village, or Susain Shah, something like that. Anyway, but he was preaching to them that actually, you know, how can you treat your mother in this way, a cow, you know, by killing it for your sustenance? She's your mother. So and he would debate with them, or this person, and actually he eventually converted this person. And it was Krishna consciousness is the perfection, actually, because, like Prabhupada says, that we understand that all creatures are citizens of a country. All living creatures, the trees, the plants, the ducks, the insects, the flies, the ants. And that somehow we should respect all living entities, whatever feature of life form is on this planet is part and parcel of Krishna. They've just in a different position of covered consciousness, partially covered consciousness, and potentially a blossoming consciousness. So all living, it's looking, having this purer understanding of the soul and its nature, and what's good food for the soul. What is the real food for the soul? Real food for the soul is service. That's the food for the soul, and it's interesting too. For those who do serve prasadam, and if we can, you know, much to my regret, I don't have that privilege anymore, is that unless we serve in such a way that it's not reflected in our service, then it becomes forfeited and it offends people. So this is my great sadness. I'm not able to do it anymore. But actually, it's Krishna's mercy too, because it's for everybody's sake, mine and the people I'm serving. So if they're not satisfied, it's good for them and it's good for me, because there's no more offenses. We have to move on, and we make the most of what we've been given. You know, whether you're disabled through old age, which I'm becoming more, you know, it's okay. It's a pilgrimage for me. But this pilgrimage is whatever's happening to this body anyway. It's worth it to be in the association of devotees, just to be there with them. And appreciate the qualities of which I've found out more from the wonderful disappearance pastimes and appearance pastimes of Jankanath Prabhu. We find out so much about the character of somebody who's all the time wanting to serve everyone and being reconciliation to everyone, or conciliation to everyone. His food for life was doing that, was serving devotees. And that's where from his smile comes. Because it's a smile that reflects your service. And it's an interesting aspect too that I mentioned once in a class. There was an old song that it comes to mind from my early childhood of hearing. It was about soldiers going to war. They knew they were going to die. It's mass slaughter. It's ignorance. It's just put the masses in, and they just get slaughtered by the thing. There was no, you know, somehow no thinking. They were like cannon fodder, you could say. They were food for the cannons of some ill directive where thousands and millions of people lost their lives. But actually, that song, it said, pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. What's the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. So pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. Because the smile is Krishna. It's part of him. It's somewhere in some scripture somewhere that actually it is expressed that the smile is Krishna. So somehow or other, this disposition, it's like, I know when I was going through difficulties in my marriage, and I was living apart from the family, that it was a very difficult time. But then somebody would say, good morning, and smile at you. And it was like, all of a sudden, my troubles sort of disappeared just because of this warm friendliness that I felt bereft of, because I was thinking of my troubles rather than anything else. But actually, this smile can give to somebody. And that's why I reflect on what Keeper Moy said to me once, when you're doing book distribution, that actually befriending people is the most important thing first. They may not take a book, but you somehow must learn to show friendship to all living entities, whether they be so-called karmis or non-karmis or Christian, Hindu, all these material designations that we, if we're not careful, we plant on people and start to discriminate. No, we must understand our association with devotees is the best from our point of view and what Prabhupada's given us. But at the same time, don't let it make you proud, as it can happen. You know, we might, if we're not careful, put ourselves in a situation where we're superior, and we're not. It's just that we have to realize that we're not superior, and that's the real thing. Think we're ourselves lower than the straw in the street. Such a verse. But we give all respect to others and not expect any for ourselves. There lies the pinch. We may not even be getting respect. But what to do? Krishna is still looking after us. Like Parachit, his suffering brought us Bhagavatam. It brought us the greatest thing. It brought Bhagavatam back to us. It brought Krishna back to us in his literal incarnation. For the age of Kali, we've been very fortunate. So we've got the cream of all the Vedas in Srimad Bhagavatam. And also in the devotional literatures that follow, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya, by his mercy, has brought Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the prescribed mantra of the age. And no matter who hears it or speaks it, is its benefit for future lifetimes. So even if they're nasty to you, all those Hare Krishnas, they're a nuisance, they're disturbing me, it's still benefit because they said Hare Krishna. Don't worry about it. It's not worth worrying about. So carry on with your devotional life in all situations, whatever it is, in all circumstances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai go premanande hadi hadi bo. Okay. So, any comments, questions? Okay. Okay. It was clear? Oh, one.
Krishna, thank you for a beautiful class. Can you remind us that song again? The one.
Well, pack up your troubles in the old kit bag. Yeah, it's, you know, when people face death, they've got a choice. They can be fearful, but also they can have this inner feeling that maybe, that actually we're really protected. You know, we have to face it. It's our duty, like Krishna was trying to tell Arjuna on the battlefield. Just do it. Don't take shelter of the results of your activities. Take what comes. Because I'm the result, not you. So don't get puffed up. I'm a great devotee, I'm a nice devotee. No, Krishna's behind everything. You know, your happiness and distress. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, happiness and distress, they're equally great riches encountered in your service, because they destroy our ignorance. We don't know when it's coming. We don't know when it's going. Just take shelter of that understanding that Krishna's really looking after us in all situations, though they may be fearful or at the same time happy. It's Mother Kalangana, we can be grateful or a great fool. It's a play on words. Grateful that we endure our difficulties in our service and stay. Or we can be a great fool and just leave. Give up Krishna consciousness. Because it's a struggle. But either way, Krishna fulfills your desires. But if we stay true to our Krishna consciousness, wherever we may be, whatever householder or temple or devotees, so-called householder devotees, that actually that's your position, and you make the best use of a bad bargain in both ways. Because it doesn't mean to say if you're in a temple you don't suffer, because if you're a proud person in a temple, it's a tough life. You suffer. You know, so we got to realize that actually, just carry on. Be patient and wait on the mercy of the Lord. 9:30 is another verse. You know, the person who's, even if he's falls down and commits the most abominable activity, he thinks that I still want to worship Krishna. I'm determined to serve Krishna no matter what. Even if I go to hell, I just want to serve Krishna. And that's the understanding. The service is everything. Because Prabhupada explains, because we got also habits that are from our previous life's existence, or is this life, and that we just got to endure them, tolerate our intolerance or our difficulties, and just come through them, because he says he's rightly situated in his determination to carry on and serve Krishna in any circumstance, wherever it may be. Because service will always give you shelter, even if you're in hell. That service will give you hell, heaven on earth. Because the shelter's inside. It's Krishna. Okay. If it answers the question. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Padar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Okay.
My question is, initially when we maybe start some service, we can be very grateful and conscious whilst we're performing it. And this attitude is there. But very quickly I find with myself, I do the same thing in a routine, you know, day after day, then I lose this consciousness and awareness and attitude of, you know, humility in the service. So how would you have any advice for how you continue to sort of develop and deepen in what we do?
Yeah. Sometimes when you're at sea, there's no wind, isn't it? They call it the doldrums. The boat's not moving. We're stuck. but we have to wait for the wind will appear. And it's understanding that it's in the association of devotees that somehow that fire will come or the wind will come again. That you'll hear something very special. Actually, hearing is very important, and discussion and studies. I remember when in Mayapur studying Bhakti Sastri, that actually to study Prabhupada's books in the association of devotees was much better than me sitting on my own with a book. It became alive. It was very wonderful. But at the same time, I was at a course where the ladies and the men's were mixed for the first Bhakti Sastri classes. And they soon twigged their mistake. Why? I'll tell you, it's very interesting that the men took over. They, you know, answered all the questions and the thing, is there any questions, any answers? And the ladies would just stay quiet. It was a disaster. You see this predominance of the male attitude as it was. It was, you know, it just happens. So this is why it's always good that they then had next year a separate Bhakti Sastri for the ladies and a separate Bhakti Sastri for the men. Practical. Because then they would share each other's realizations. But, and it's a bit of a mental block because of our natures that we've been built with. That, you know, the mother will be a mother, she'll tolerate. And the man, he will take over, he'll defend, you know, and he'll know what's right. But there's this domination, you know, aspect. You know, it's a funny thing. But it's good. Also in marriage, you see, you need protection. You need a male dominance, but also you need a mother's caring and loving and support. But somehow they can give under all circumstances, and you know, even if they see, you know, the man's just such an idiot, he's just coming drunk again or something, you know, somehow the mother nature is very tolerant, and you know, these male aspects that we're born with and given in this material world, you know, but they're in the spiritual world, but they're in an ecstatic form. You know, there's the men and women, but they all love Krishna. They're all serving in their roles in Krishna's pastimes, the men and the ladies. But it's based on the culture. It's based on their service to Krishna is the best. It's what they want. They want a position of an uncle or an auntie or a mother or a father. That's they're realizing the nature of their soul. And Krishna, he says, our position's already in the heart. We just happen to have come here based on the will of the Lord. Because we had some fantasy in this world. I wonder what it'd be like to lord it over, for me to be a king or like this sort of thing. So the spirit soul comes to a material world, immediately facilitates this almost childish whim. That comes from the spirit soul that's brought us into the material existence. But it's only a fraction of eternality that we're in this world. And if we could bear that in mind for this one lifetime, there's no loss in Krishna consciousness, in progress. But in material life, it's all loss. you just carry on with the material life, you eventually degrade again, and you've got to come up through the species of life again and get a human form of life, which is unfortunate. So better to gamble this one life in Krishna consciousness, the only gambling we're allowed, that and just carry on in all your circumstances and wherever you go, just keep it with you, but keep it a secret sometimes, because you sometimes in this world people can ridicule, and that may thing we gotta somehow keep ourselves a secret with our Krishna consciousness in all circumstances. That's what I found was really good and worthwhile knowing. Even if I'm in prison, because I've memorized Shikshakshatakam, all the scriptures are there. So I wouldn't need, theoretically, if all the scriptures and books were banned that I had, I still had Shikshakshatakam that I still remembered. And it's the essence of Krishna consciousness. You know, so that's worth knowing, isn't it? That all the time you can have the Bhagavatam with you and the Chaitanya Charitamrita with you and realize who you are. So anyway, I better finish there. We've gone past time. So thank you for your questions, and I hope it satisfies your question. That it's carry on, because then the bliss, when you're steady and when you start to establish yourself in a service, and that people can reciprocate, and that you can improve that service, there's ways of always improving your service. That's where the nectar lies. How can I improve this service on what you're doing, instead of treating it as a mundane thing? Oh, it's only sweeping. Oh, it's cooking, right? Yeah. This sort of thing, chopping vegetables or whatever you're doing. It's special. It's an opportunity. Okay, so we finish there, if that's okay, by your kind permission. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Sri Adi Gokul Nanda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandini.